One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Baby, do you want to go higher? Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. I almost missed the bell, you guys. I was in here chatting it up with Dewan Bennett. I've got him in studio today with Diamond Gray on the controls, Aviana Barrientos, and Navi Mendoza. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
We're great.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've got a ton of energy. It's amazing what a little sleep will do.
Oh, I know. Based on our last off-air conversation, I was like, Burn's feeling good today.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a burst of energy for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And I love, you know, this is Burn when Burn's not tired. So it's always good. Listen to a little Tupac on the way.
Okay. All
spicy.
Eyes on me, huh?
Fired up.
Now, what's your favorite Tupac song? Anybody, what's your favorite one?
Hit 'em up.
Me too. Oh, my God. I love that song. And Two of America's Most Wanted is probably
for
number
sure,
two.
For sure.
And
Dear Mama, you got to put
Dear
that
Mama.
In.
Dear Mama, how do you want it?
Ambition.
Yeah. Anyway. But that kind of music, like, I'm just grooving in my car. Know what people were thinking, you know, but he'll, I don't care.
Tupac can get you to the studio on time. He'll get you here.
Yeah, he'll get you here.
Vroom vroom.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I love cooking for people, and it's so easy to cook well if you just take a little bit of time. And you know, when I made my Bernie bars this morning, and for me, I was thinking about this when I was driving. Cooking for me is like meditation, because I go off into a zone in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's just me and my ingredients.
We talked about that last time, how for a lot of people, that is their place to relax. They feel comfortable. It's their opportunity to be creative.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, there are studies out there that show that people who voluntarily cook, now we're talking about voluntarily cook, they feel a lot better because they feel like they could go in the kitchen and be creative. Now, opposed to those who feel like they have to cook out of obligation for their family, things like that, that can be a little more stressful.
Well, it was so creative. And there I am with all my beautiful ingredients all over the place, you know, and then Dean was there. The cats are always around. I'm always trying to not get cat hair in the food. But, you know.
That's the worst.
Well, we vacuum every day. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If I get to swallow a little cat hair, what the heck? Is it going to kill me?
It'll be all right.
Probably not.
What?
I just had a Bernie bar with cat hair.
It's added nutrients.
It's added nutrients. It's like a what do you call that? When you go get a shot for allergies.
It's like a
cat allergy shot.
A natural
cat allergy shot. You swallow a hair of the dog that bit you, or the cat.
Hair of the
cat.
I guess.
You know, like that, you become immune to spider bites if you get bitten by a spider.
Honestly, though, that's how I was able to adopt cats. I forced myself to be around cats. I'm highly allergic, but after years of exposing myself to their fur and their dandruff or whatever, I can tolerate cats.
I mean, that's
now.
Most things. You become habituated to things over time. The more you're exposed to it, you just hope within that process of becoming habituated to it that you
it doesn't
don't
get worse.
Yeah, you don't go into some type of anaphylactic shock or something like that. But I think a lot of stuff. I think we all have like food allergies or things that we're allergic to that over time of eating it again, our immune system kind of gets used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the kids with peanuts. If you keep them away from them, they develop the allergies. Why are you laughing?
My mind. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say penis. That's why I said it. I'm like, what?
Okay. All right.
No, it's not what I was saying.
Peatless Tuesday, huh?
I'm a but wild right. one today. It's amazing when you get a little sleep and you eat well. And I did. I had a beautiful Bernie Bar breakfast.
Okay.
And so, you guys, so we're going to start putting the recipe, the base recipe, in the newsletter all the time. So here's what I did today. And I feel like I painted a painting almost because they're, you know, I got so creative. I used molasses. Mm-hmm. And then there's a new product called Just Dates. It's a liquid date.
Right.
Okay, squirted some of that in there, a little bit of real salt, and then Miyoko's butter because it's Teatless Tuesday, so I didn't use real butter, and typically I don't anyway because Miyoko's is such a good replacement, and it's you know what, they're suing her, trying to get her to not be able to put butter on the cover of her, or on the packaging.
That's a lot of plant-based companies now, like, yep. that are trying to make butter alternatives.
Big Dairy's going after them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it says cultured vegan butter. I mean, mm-hmm. what do you, they want to own the whole damn dictionary? I mean, butter, you can't do that. I hope she wins. I'm going to try to help her somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't like that. Why are they trying to take own a word?
I don't know. Everybody wants to take ownership of words.
Well, you could say there's almond milk, there's cashew milk, there's oat milk.
If you're going to make money off of it, I want the money.
Yeah.
This is a capitalist society. I want the money.
Well, it's like meat, too. People are throwing a fit because of plant-based meat.
Well, because they're losing money.
Exactly.
That's why. That's the reason why. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about the money.
Don't forget to tell the people about the peanut butter surprise.
Oh, the peanut butter. So yeah. So I took my recipe, and I used cups, like cupcake cups, and I put a dollop of the oatmeal base in there, and then I put a teaspoon of, like, live, real peanut butter, untouched, like just raw peanut butter, and then I put another bit, a dollop of the Bernie Bar base on top. But when I was making it, so I make it with only pasture-raised eggs or local eggs. So they're kind of like, it's kind of a joke, except I'm going to start, you know, trademarking them as this when I start making them and selling them. They're smegan because they're somewhere in the middle between paleo, keto, and vegan, because they apply to all three because they're high in real nutrient, you know, nice fat, fiber. The only thing in them that's animal-based is the pasture-raised egg. And so, yeah, and you just mix it up, and you can have fun with it. You can use monk fruit. You could use regular sugar if that's what you want to use. But I put a Sun Warrior plant-based protein in there, so each one of them is a complete little meal. You got
Shout
your protein.
Shout out to Sun Warrior. Shout out to them. They got to make some great products.
Who, Sun Warrior?
Yes.
Yeah, no, they do. They do. And there's so many great companies out there now. It's there's almost like this entrepreneurial, like, explosion going on across the country. Have you? I know you guys have noticed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of people who are starting to feel comfortable in taking risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems for so long has always been, like, the marketing aspect of getting recognition for your products. Well, with the explosion of social media, you see a lot more people who have these great ideas who now can put the idea out on these social platforms for free and then start gathering a customer base. And then they can go to big companies and say, hey, I have a customer base.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me market my products better?
Yeah. Well, grassroots marketing is good old-fashioned marketing. Mm-hmm. The best way to get somebody to buy something is put a taste of it in their mouth if it's food and it's good, because they'll always come back if it's good.
What if it's not food?
What if it's not food? Well, there's lots of ways. I was just thinking of food because that's, you know, that's my background. But I don't know. What do you say? What if it's not food? Hmm. What's the best way to market it?
I don't know. I think sometimes giving away something free helps.
Yeah, like a sample or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Type of sample.
Like a sample of the product. Oh, gotcha.
Of the product.
Well, I mean, we've done that with Enviromedica. They were gracious enough to give us some really nice little, what were they, like
sample
a 10-day?
Packs of
10-day pack?
I think a 5-day with 10 capsules is what it was. But they were great. People loved them.
Yeah. And it's a great product. That's what I'm saying. When it's a great product and it actually works, it sells itself.
It sells itself. Yeah. And then word of mouth, things like that, a lot of people talking about the product helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we've got Navi Mendoza here in studio with us, and she is a great addition to our team here at One Life Radio. She also is a blogger of the Spiritual Daily, which has over 20,000 people signed up for it, for your newsletter of your Spiritual Daily. So what is the Spiritual Daily today, Navi? Are you ready?
Yeah.
She didn't know. Sometimes I do it. Sometimes I don't. Some days I ask her. Some days I don't. We got a good one. Do we have a good one
today?
If
you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
I love it.
So today we can talk about just taking risks and allowing yourself that that area so that you can grow. Because I think that a lot of times people let those risks keep them where they're at. And sometimes the risks can be disguised as your comfort zone. And not taking risks can be disguised as your comfort zone. And a lot of people don't know that staying in your comfort zone is equivalent to not wanting to take risks. And mm-hmm. so taking risks is part of life. It's part of growth. It's part of change. And change is one of the most, it's the only thing that we have that's for sure in this life is mm-hmm. changing and growing and allowing yourself to go through the motions. And so, yeah, take a risk, do whatever you've been wanting to do, but haven't had the courage or chance to. And yeah, go out there and make it happen.
I do that every day almost.
Snaps all around. Snaps all around.
But yeah. Risk is scary.
No, I get off on risk. It is. I love risk. Like, I totally love risk. That's part of, you know, taking a risk even when you're creating like a Bernie bar, when you're cooking, when you're painting, when you're speaking. I mean, we've done a lot of stuff, like telling, even, you know, speaking at the Veggie Fest. Yep, I'd never done that before, and it scared the bejesus out of me. But you know what?
It was great.
It was
awesome.
I nailed it. I did pretty well, and I don't want to be too braggadocious, but
you did so good.
I did well enough, and it felt so empowering afterwards. I can't even tell you, like the best drug ever.
The real question is, how do you grow without taking a risk? At some point in your life, you have to make a decision that I'm going to go for this. I'm going to leap. I'm going to jump, right? Because if you spend too much time in your comfort zone, then that comfort zone, you get used to the things that comfort zone provides for you. And those are the things you feel like you need. But really what you may need and really what your brain may have to offer in your life and your body may have to offer you is beyond those walls, those mm-hmm. four walls of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you have to be willing to open that door, walk through the door and go outside and see what's available for you.
Yeah. That goes for working out too.
Yes.
You know, you do the same thing over and over. You get so conditioned to it. You're not growing. Mm-hmm. You're not getting new strength in your body. Nope. You're not developing new mental skills because, mm-hmm. you know, I never really thought about this, but working out with Tina Burnett, you know, she'll take me through like the craziest exercises, or so they seem, but my brain gets stronger from it too. It works the neuroplasticity in your brain when you're doing things that you've never done before.
Yes.
And so everything gets stronger. And I can't even tell everyone out there how much better I feel now that I've gotten back on my exercise regime. Mm-hmm. And if there's anyone out there that's kind of fallen off the exercise wagon, I encourage you to jump back on.
Just do it.
Even if it's just little things. Sometimes now I'll just break into a pose in my kitchen and see how long I can hold it. And just, you know, and it feels good.
Getting those endorphins going.
Yeah, and my body's strong and it feels good. Again, though, you know, it's about doing things out of your comfort zone. Well, you know, this is hard or this is awkward. I've never put my body in this position before, but you know, those are all good things.
But do you think, I think we're conditioned as a society to not take risks, right? You know, you get older, you go to college, you find a good job, and then you
get married, have a family,
and you just keep that job until you retire.
Yeah.
Well, what about going after the thing that you've always wanted? What about creating that product that you've always wanted to? What about starting your own private practice or your own business or your own radio show? What are you doing to say, hey, this is my stamp on my life? This is my yes. opportunity to say. And yes, sometimes you're going to fail. Sometimes that first risk is going to fail. But then that means, hey, it happened before. I survived. Let me get back up and try it again.
And you're going to want to quit.
Amen.
Multiple times. Yeah, because when it gets tough, the mind goes there like, I can't take it anymore. I want to quit. And somehow you find the strength
you
to get up
strength.
And do it. Just keep going.
You
keep
find
moving
the fortitude,
forward.
The resiliency. Yeah. You find all these. And those skills translate over into other aspects of your life. Because what you're saying is, I can try things. I know they may not always work. But if I try 100 things and one of them work and it's the big thing, then I've made it. I can mm-hmm. say I made it on my own back, my own sweat.
I love it. I love having you in studio. Always a pleasure. DeJuan Bennett is going to be talking about coping with family estrangement a little later on in the show. We've got Sam Morris, vulnerability and sobriety, and we're going to be talking about mental illness and all kinds of things and how it affects you, your life, and your family. So stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, DeJuan Bennett, and I've got Sam Morris on the line. He is the founder of the Unbreakable Man Project. He specializes in coaching people through the early stages of recovery from addiction. Sam is also a certified mindset coach, certified mindfulness practitioner, certified recovery consultant, certified personal trainer, and certified nutritionist. I love this guy's content. You can find him at theunbreakablemanproject.com. How are you doing today, Sam?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again. How are you?
I'm good. I had a fantastic morning. I was in my kitchen making my Bernie bars and, you know, just meditating with my ingredients and had a good old time and headed straight to work. I wish you could try one. They're still warm. They're delicious. But
I just moved to Texas, so maybe I can.
Oh, well, there you go. Are you in Dallas?
No. I'm in Austin.
Oh, that's right. Aviana told me that. Yeah, so you'll have to come and do the show live sometime, and I'll be sure to make some Bernie bars that morning.
That'd be amazing.
Okay. What's your favorite fruit?
Favorite fruit? Any kind of berry, I'd say.
Any kind of berry. Okay, I'll make you my blueberry almond.
Ooh, with or the razzleberries.
Or the razzleberry ones.
Those are
but they're
good.
Really healthy. But anyway, speaking of health, let's talk about mental health. You know, today we're supposed to be talking about vulnerability and sobriety and also mental health, stigmas that are out there. Yeah. I have firsthand experience with this, as you know. And so, but a lot of people, I think there's just so much misconception regarding mental health stigmas. What would you like people to know?
It's not a made up thing. It's not just people making excuses for being lazy. It's not people making excuses for like not wanting to go out. It's a real legitimate thing that in the person that's suffering from the mental illness in their life, in their world, it is as real as it gets. It's like a cut on the finger. It's like a paper cut. I mean, it's bigger than that, but it's as real as some sort of physical injury for the person going through it. And the people that haven't really experienced mental health or don't really know the intricacies of it, they tend to think it's like, okay, just get up and go outside.
Yeah.
I mean, and for the person with the mental health, it's like, oh, thanks, never thought of that.
Yeah.
It's that kind of, there's that kind of gap there. Whereas the communication doesn't exist for the communication space isn't there for the sick person to talk to other people about it.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of somebody that actually two different people that I care about very much, I love very much, and they suffer from depression. And, you know, the one in particular, you know, well, both of them kind of have always been kind of, I think, misunderstood as being like lazy. That's a big one. Like, oh, they're just lazy. Yeah. They don't know. They don't want to do this or they don't want to do that. People don't understand the depth of depression, how difficult it can be, right?
Yeah, it's very, very deep. Deep is a great way to say it because it feels like you're in a hole with no ladder, like at the bottom of a hole, and there's just like cement walls everywhere and no way to get out. It's exactly what it feels like. Whereas the person looking in or from the outside might see some sort of they don't see it as the hole that it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great analogy to use the word depth of it. Yes.
Well, you know, DeJuan Bennett is a licensed professional counselor working on his PhD. Mm-hmm. What do you say about, I always like to bring everybody into the mix when we discuss especially topics like this when I've got a shrink in the house. Actually, two shrinks based on your training, Sam. But what do you want to say, DeJuan, about the depth of depression, how debilitating it can be?
I think that was a great example of being in a deep hole. But for people on the outside looking in, they're like, hey, won't you just grab the ladder and pull yourself out of it? But that person who's depressed, they can't see the ladder. And if they can see the ladder, they just don't have the motivation. I think it can be debilitating because one of the premier facts of depression is this deep sadness, just this feeling of unmotivated. Yeah. I can't do anything. I don't feel empowered. And that lack of motivation, if you lack motivation, then what makes you get up in the morning and go to work?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you brush your teeth?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of reading the history behind the stigma of mental illness, and I ran across this, and it said that stigma through the ages, ancient cultures viewed mental illnesses as a form of religious punishments or possession by demons. In the 5th century BC, Hippocrates became a pioneer helping to treat mentally ill people with techniques not based on religion or superstition. And, you know, my own brother, who's schizophrenic, and that's the stigma that I lived through as a child and continue kind of to this day. You know, our family was very, very judged, if you will. But, you know, the Catholic Church actually performed exorcism on my brother in our family home when I was a kid.
That's traumatizing.
Traumatizing.
Well, yeah.
And there's so much ignorance around this topic.
Yeah. It's definitely a topic that people are uneducated about. I think that the generational gaps kind of appear there. Like you were saying, like, yeah, when, you know, coming from that religious background, it's been an evolution to the point now where people are starting to talk about it, but there's still a kind of that old pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of mentality mm-hmm. around mental health when it's just not like that. It's just not the way out of mental health, yeah. mental illness.
Well, you know, how do you think that it's, what's the best way to overcome the stigma of mental illness, both of you?
I would say that self-stigma is important. You have to think about how you feel about your condition and what's going on with you, or about having mental health first. I think that we have to think about ourselves and how we would feel if we were depressed, or how we feel when we're depressed. Because if you think about your stigma that you have in regard to yourself and mental illness, then you can kind of think about how other people may not understand it. Because if you can't understand it and you're suffering, then there's a lot of people who you can live who are out here in this world and they don't understand it. So mm-hmm. a lot of times we need to start with ourselves and how we feel about it.
Well, you know the irony about that story that I told you guys, my brother was actually molested by the Catholic priest when he was an altar boy for several wow. years, and that's what triggered his mental illness, which is kind mm-hmm. of funny that then the Catholic Church would try to perform an exorcism on him, you know, 10 years later or whatever, how many years later that it was. And it's just so crazy, the things that go on here. So, you know, I have to ask you, though, Sam, personally, when did you realize that you had to be vulnerable to heal yourself from all your addictions, and how did things go after the vulnerability?
So when I first, I tried to get sober for the better part of 5 years, from age 33 to 38. And the one thing I would never do was open up about the real issues, the depression. I would never admit that it was depression. I would never admit that it was like super anxiety and that, stuff like that. So when I finally got sober, I knew that the first thing I had to do was like, I had to leave no stone unturned and talk about everything that was going on with me. So that going forward, like in the rehab setting that I was in, is the place I decided to do that. But once you flex that muscle and learn to use that muscle of vulnerability, you realize that it matters in every relationship you're ever going to have, especially with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like Devon was saying, like it starts with yourself, with like owning where you are and what's going on with you, and then communicating it to a close friend or a trusted group, something like that, where you can actually express how you're feeling and get really positive feedback and have that safe place to do that. But once you learn how to be vulnerable, every relationship in your life will open up and flourish.
That's so true. And Dewan is shaking his head. I love these conversations. I do. So many people out there are hurting. They really yeah. are. And they, this vulnerability piece is such a big one. You know, Dewan, you're sitting there shaking your head. And so, you know, Sam, how crucial was vulnerability in your journey to sobriety? Was it the missing piece?
Yes, absolutely. 100% the missing piece. So the vulnerability led to the most important thing in my sobriety and really in my whole life and my happiness is my brotherhood and my fellowship, my close group of friends. And that is all based on getting vulnerable in an AA meeting, or getting vulnerable with just me and another guy, like just talking about what's really, really going on in your life. You know, like that's the basis for all my relationships, and it's the basis for my sobriety, is being able to, if something's going wrong in my life, there's no good that's going to come from me just ruminating mm-hmm. on it in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. So when I can go to an AA group or a close friend and say, hey, I'm having a hard day, that's the ultimate vulnerability and the ultimate relief.
That's the 12. The 12-step prep program does have a lot of success, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
And you know what's funny? I never knew this. You know, I went to my first AA meeting as a support for a friend back mm-hmm. about 8 months ago, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my life, to see a group of strangers gather in a room and be loving and kind to one another and to listen to one another, and the fellowship that I saw firsthand was just absolutely amazing, to see that kind of behavior, because so many human beings you know, can be so selfish and so judgmental that it was actually a beautiful experience.
Yeah, it's an amazing sanctuary.
That's a great way to categorize it as a sanctuary. So, you know, for people, vulnerability, what is, give me an example, our listeners, an example of vulnerability. What does it look like?
So, I mean, there's like, when I talk about a bad day, like, people have bad days, but when you realize, like, for me, vulnerability, like, when I notice that my depression is kicking in, talking to somebody else, but I think Brené Brown talks about it a lot, about how vulnerability is trusting something private about yourself in the hands of another person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing that in another person is the ultimate form of love and vulnerability, is that you feel comfortable enough to say what's deeply, deeply going on with you. Not the, hey, I'm good, how are you? I'm good too. No, not that. It's like, you know what? I'm not so good today.
Yeah.
And to have that, to be that, to, when you start doing that yourself, you create the space for other people to do that in return too, because they see you as, well, this person shared this with me, so it's okay if I share this with them. And that's when relationships just start to grow. You get safe, you heal, all the good things that come along with that.
That is, you're shaking your head, Duane. Would you like to say something along with those shakes?
I think Sam hit it on, I think Sam hit it on the head, because when you have the ability to allow people to know how you feel, when you allow them to kind of open up into your world as much as they can by explaining to them what's on your mind and how you feel and what you're experiencing, I think that's where the connection starts.
Yeah.
And with being vulnerable, absolutely, it allows you to connect with people and develop genuine relationships, but also allows you to build your self-esteem, mm-hmm, self-concept, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So it's so important.
Well, and I think this too, because that vulnerability, sometimes people will repeat what you say, but you also get to a point where you don't care, because you love and believe in yourself so much that you don't give a rat's behind if they go and tell, you know, scream it from the rooftop, right?
Yeah, you've taken all the power away from whatever's bothering you.
Yeah.
If you say it out loud.
Yeah. Well, you know, how can you create momentum in your life after hitting a low point? Any tips for people out there listening?
Break it down to the smallest increment that you possibly can of anything you want to accomplish. So if it's running, like, just one day, just put sneakers on. That's it. Don't do anything else. And then the next day, maybe go outside your house and run around the block. But break it down into the smallest increment and then build on that. That will create any sort of momentum. Because really, even just putting the running shoes on can be a huge step forward. Because that will create the momentum in the universe, like in the kind of metaphysical way, like moving in the right direction. It'll create that just by doing the smallest thing of any kind of habit or life experience that you want to have.
I love that. I really do. It makes it so simple. No, seriously. I mean,
right?
that is in a nutshell, like, some of the best advice I think I've ever heard. Seriously.
Thank you.
Well, you know, anything else you want the listeners to know, Sam, about the vulnerability in sobriety?
Yeah, vulnerability and sobriety, just, you know, when you find people that you can feel safe with and they provide that space, and you provide that space in return, go all in on it. Don't half-ass it, because when you go all in on vulnerability, the rewards that you're going to receive are amazing friendships, amazing freedom, amazing healing, and amazing peace.
Mm, I love it. Well, you know what? Great talking with you. We're going to go to break, and you have a great day. It's Teatless Tuesday, so you can't eat any dairy today.
Oh, I don't eat dairy anyway, so that's good.
Oh, good. There you go. All right. Well, thanks again, Sam. Always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you guys very much, too. It was great talking to you.
All right, same here. Everyone, stay tuned. Duane Bennett coming up. We're going to be talking about coping with family estrangement. I think everybody's got a little of this in their family, don't they? Stay tuned, everyone. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah. Ready to dance? We're doing all Tupac today, in case you haven't caught on to that yet. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, and Duane Bennett. I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast, or subscribe to our newsletter, which will have the Bernie Bar recipe in it, the base one, and then you can get creative in your own kitchen and do what you want with it. But you can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shoppe or put it in your Smoothie King. You can get it, actually, you can get it all over the place. It's at Whole Foods. It's everywhere. Central Market has it. Everyone does. Or go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. In fact, that's the protein that I put in my Bernie Bars. I always put one or two scoops depending upon how big of a batch I'm making. But typically for every six Bernie Bars, I put one scoop of Sun Warrior protein in there.
I really like these mini ones, especially.
The mini ones are good, aren't they? Yeah. That was so creative of me. I'm patting myself on the back for putting that dollop of peanut butter in the middle of it. And it's plant-based. And I like I said, I used Miyoko's instead of butter, which is a great alternative butter. It's all plant-based and they don't use palm oil. So they're not destroying the Amazon. And it's all like really great ingredients like coconut oil and organic cashews and organic sunflower oil and all kinds of good stuff. So check it out. And they're not a sponsor. I just really love their products and I use it because it's Teatless Tuesday, you guys. You always want to check out Veg World Magazine here in Dallas if you see it on a stand, or go to vegworldmag.com to order it. It's an amazing magazine. And I just got the latest copy of Paleo Magazine hot off the presses last night. You can visit them at paleomagonline.com to download the digital version or find a store near you and pick up a copy. This is one of my favorite issues ever, I think. It's got so much good information in it. I love Paleo Magazine. You should sign up for a subscription. It's a really good magazine. The same with the Wellbeing Journal, heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health, covering all kinds of topics that you need to know about. So many incredible minds that contribute to the Wellbeing Journal. And of course, Thorn Research. You can go to our dispensary at oneliferadio.com/Thorn, that's T-H-O-R-N-E, to order any of your supplements and get 20% off and free shipping and no evil foods. Great, all-natural, organic, plant-based meat alternative, award-winning, making meat from nothing but plants. All right, you ready, Freddy?
Ready.
All right, Dewan. Always a pleasure to have this guy in studio. He is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling expertise and experience from Vallejo, California. Dewan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. He is the owner of Dewan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. And Dewan believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. You can find him on his Instagram page or Facebook at Dewan Bennett, Bennett Counseling, and that's B-E-N-N-E-T-T, two N's and two T's, or visit his website at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Today we're talking about coping with family estrangement. Wow, this is a big one. Yes. I don't know anyone personally that doesn't deal with this with some member of their family.
I think that's the case. I think when you look at, when we're talking about family estrangement, we're talking about a voluntary cutoff from family members, right? So you have no communication or very limited communication of it, because there are various degrees of it. There are some people who have limited communication, meaning they only talk to their parents in cases of emergencies, or their family members in case of emergencies or during the holidays. And there are some people who don't have any contact with them at all. But I think around this time of the year with the holidays, that's when you start to see more issues with it, mm-hmm. right? Particularly when you have children who may have been cut off by their parents.
Wow.
Right now, you know, they get to a point where maybe they have kids and they want to be able to spend the holidays with their family, and their kids are getting older and are asking questions like, hey, you know, why don't we talk with grandma and grandpa? Mm. That's when a lot of that stuff starts mm-hmm. to surface.
And it does happen around the holidays. Yes. I know we're getting together for Thanksgiving. I personally have one family member. If he could behave himself, I would love to, you know, have him sit down with the family. But he always starts a fight. Always starts a fight. Not physical, but verbal. He loves to argue, and he thinks he's always the smartest one in the room.
There's always that family member.
And
uh-huh.
he drives me crazy. We're like gasoline and fire.
Okay. So, very combustible, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to do with him. So it's like we just avoid him. He's kind of estranged from the family.
And sometimes that's what leads to the estrangement is, you know, the difference in characteristics, our personalities, our values. I think value systems play a big part in family estrangements when you see adult children who may have made decisions that their adult parents may disagree with. Maybe the parents are very religious and they want their kids to live a certain lifestyle. And since those kids don't, there's a kind of a formal cutoff. Mm-hmm. Like a formal estrangement, like we are kind of banishing you from the family and things like that. So I think that you see stuff like that. And then you have informal estrangements where maybe somebody is just cutting their family off on their social media where, you know, their family doesn't have access to them. And mm-hmm. then you see situations where maybe somebody is changing their name. Right. Because, hey, I feel as if that name brings me hurt. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cut off from them. It can be difficult.
Yeah. That people get really extreme with that, don't they? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of somebody I know that did that. Like, that seems so extreme to me to change your name. Hello?
Change your name? Change your name?
No comment.
Oh, okay.
Do you know someone that did that?
Yeah. I know a few people.
Yeah.
No more comments.
No more comments.
That made the room go silent. I don't know why. Yeah, but I'll find out during the break. But anyway.
That may have been a sensitive subject because Everybody got quiet on that one. But if you think about it, sometimes we get emancipated from our parents. You see some kids nowadays, when they get 16, 17, they want to get emancipated. They're saying that your toxic behaviors are the way that I feel. Because a lot of times, it's about how I feel you treated me. I may not have intentionally done things wrong to you, but I feel as such. And that's why we got to pay attention, because too many times we're trying to tell children or even our adult parents, like, you know, what happened or what didn't happen. How do they feel? Mm-hmm. And that's important, because you have children who feel like maybe there was some abuse and maybe they tried to talk to their parents about it. Maybe the parents wasn't the people who actually abused them, but there was someone else in the family. And since no one ever believed them, they was like, well, look, I don't want any parts of this family, because now you guys are treating me like I did something wrong where I was a victim. Mm-hmm. And so that causes them, as they get older, to resent their family. And as you get to a point, you know, when you resent somebody, you don't listen to them.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, in fact, she's coming up on the show, Wanda Means. She actually wrote a book about sexual abuse. She was the one that was on with Dale Hansen on one of the new stations here, telling her story. I can understand that. If you have a mother that allowed you to be sexually abused by your stepfather, and then when you came to her to tell her about it, she didn't believe you, I would have trouble hanging out with her too and forgiving her if it was my mother. That's got to be a huge obstacle and, you know, to ever overcome.
And that's what makes it so hard. I think that, you know, that you have people who say, hey, you know, that's your mom. You should forgive her. That's your mom. And it's like, well, hold on. I was in a state where I felt vulnerable. I felt like I needed somebody to protect me. I felt like I needed somebody just to believe me. Mm-hmm. Just to believe me. And the person that I felt was supposed to protect me the most didn't.
They actually
victimized me again.
Yeah, I just don't know how you ever get over something like that. And she has gotten over it. She's very successful. She's coming up on the show again. She was on a few years ago, but she's very open about it. You talk about vulnerability.
Right.
That's what made her, I think, probably healed her when I look at it now from the understanding, even the conversation we just had with Sam Morris.
Even if we're getting to a point where we're talking about how do I develop the coping skills in order to move forward, it's that sense of vulnerability. First, I have to understand and recognize how I feel. Mm-hmm. How do I feel? Because I can easily say that this parent is not a part of my life and I don't care. Well, do we really not care? Like, are we being honest? Or can I really say that this parent not being a part of my life really bothers me? And I feel abandoned. I feel unwanted. And that's that vulnerability process that allows you to start the healing process.
Yeah.
As long as you're kind of masking how you feel, you can't ever start the process of moving past it. Because, again, we were brought into this world to be connected to our family. There's a reason that family values and having that sense of togetherness is important. Because some part of us needs our family.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you're making me think of, I can't think of that. I think it's Rosetta, for some reason, is coming into my mind. It's this community in Pennsylvania that Dr. Sinatra and Johnny Bowden write about in the book, The Great Cholesterol Myth. This one community, there is almost zero heart disease. And it's because they're all connected. They're all family that live in this big community. And typically in every household in that community, there are three generations. And there's almost zero heart disease because of it. And not because they eat really well.
Yeah, it's like the blue zones.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just incredible. And you're like, okay, so how does that happen? But connection, like you said, is everything.
Connection matters. We talked about before on the show the three connections to happiness. And it starts with our connection to people, our connection to some type of higher power. It doesn't matter your religion, and then our connection to our purpose. But that connection to people is important. So many times we see people who pull away from people, and in their minds, I don't need people. Well, mm-hmm. we all need to have a sense of support. People are our sense of support.
Well, yeah.
If I'm alone in the world because I can't call anybody, then how does that make me feel better?
Well, now they've, what's the name of that Thanksgiving celebration for friends?
Friendsgiving.
I love that too. Okay. I'm going to have a Friendsgiving gathering with all my friends. Yeah.
I honestly prefer it over Thanksgiving almost.
Yeah. I know, right?
But think about that. That is now connecting with people that you want to be a part of your family.
Yeah.
You can choose your family.
We're going to talk about solutions of how to deal with this if indeed you do have to. Stay tuned, everyone. Dewan Bennett coming back up. You're listening to One Life Radio. I don't want to talk. Oh, wow, that reminds me. KMET, hey there in Southern California. We're on 1490 AM in Southern California. I heard they really like the show. Got a lot of listeners out there.
Hey,
so
that's my home state.
I know it is. Always great to have Dewan Bennett in studio. He is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. Dewan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. He is the owner of Dewan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. You can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or on Instagram or Facebook at Dewan Bennett Counseling. We're talking about coping with family estrangement. Okay, so what's your best advice for those who may not be close to their blood relatives? I'm thinking of my former mother-in-law who used to say, they're not blood. You know, she would do the Kip thing when it came to like blood relative, like that was different than just a regular
blood.
But blood, is blood thicker than water? And does it lead to more emotional trauma?
I think that blood definitely can lead to more emotional trauma because these are the people that you feel you inherited to be there for you. I think that, you know, moving past your family, you have to form relationships in which you feel vulnerable with people. Because if you can't be vulnerable with your family, who can I be vulnerable with? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's just about surrounding yourself with people. You have to surround yourself with people that you could be vulnerable with. And then at some point when you become vulnerable and you have that sense of strength from people that are close, that have close ties to you, at some point you can go back and explore the estrangement aspect of the family. Like, why am I not communicating with my siblings? Why am I not communicating with my parents? Or as the parent, why is my child not communicating mm-hmm. with me? Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times in order to have those conversations, sometimes you have to come from a place of strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean is that if you have people that, hey, you can go back and cry on their shoulder and you can go back and talk to them, you're more likely to want to engage in that conversation to figure out, hey, is this a miscommunication thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes with families, it is a miscommunication thing.
Oh, communication right? is the key to success. It's always about communication at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is on so many different levels. And so, you know, what kind of counseling experience are the most helpful for those that may be dealing with this type of situation?
CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, your ability to kind of be able to process what's going on in your mind and then kind of figure out how that's affecting your behaviors, I think really helps. You can also look at like family systems therapy. We talked earlier about cutoff methods in which they explore how families are cutting each other off from communication. Because again, if you don't feel vulnerable enough with talking with your family and you don't feel vulnerable enough and having them be there for you, you're never going to be able to get that sense of strength from your people around you.
Wow. Always great. Wish we had more time. As usual, the Church of Dewan Bennett. I feel like I get like the best advice when you're always on. Well, I shouldn't say that because there's other people on the show. Everybody does a great job. Everybody does a great job, but you just have an extra little oomph of spirit or something. Always a pleasure. You can find Dewan at Preston Place Counseling. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.